So I just want to thank you for that introduction. My name is Bradley Wilson. I'm a PhD student under Dr. Seth Bird at Oklahoma State University. Today I'll be talking with you about foliar fertilizer use in cotton under various fertility programs. Just an introduction to foliar fertilization. It is defined as the utilization of one or more mineral nutrients via a foliar application to supplement our traditional soil-applied fertilizers. Now, foliar fertilization has long been utilized in high-value crops such as fruit and vegetable production. And what makes it a interesting candidate for use in cotton? So we have seen increased interest with the use of foliar applications over the past 20 to 30 years in cotton. Number one, we have seen new and improved cotton cultivars, higher yielding. We're also seeing early maturing cultivars being bred and fruiting in under shorter periods of time. Now we know cotton nutrient uptake really follows a seasonal pattern that'll vary by growth rate and growth stage. And that nutrient demand is not always met by the soil at that time. So some traditional nutrients that have been applied in cotton, we look at nitrogen and boron during this peak nutrient demand throughout the cotton belt has been used. And as of late, potassium foliar applications have become increasingly more popular to correct some of these late season deficiencies. So just an example of plant nutrition in cotton, we look at daily nutrient requirements during peak demand, and this is of potassium. But at the time of that first part of that fruiting window, we see an increase in uptake of K and even nitrogen and other macro elements as well. But just to focus on, we see 2 to 5 kilograms of K being used per day or uptaken per day. So we see that just dramatically increased right at the start of that fruiting window. And so what are some of the cons to foliar fertilization with all of that? Well, typically these responses are often temporary. We look at the high amount needed during those nutrient demand timings in that fruiting window, and multiple applications may be needed to see responses of these fertilizers. We also see a risk of phytotoxicity trying to apply large amounts of N, P, and K at one time. And then really our efficacy is dependent upon our environment at that time, the crop condition, and plant water status at that point. So those are three major factors that are going to really change the efficacy of the uptake. And so it has been reported in literature with a wealth of many authors, but here is one, Silvertooth et al., 1998, reported no increases in growth or increased nutrient tissue concentration with a mixture of foliar fertilizers. So the objectives of our study were to really investigate nutrient uptake of these foliar products in cotton and really look at the short-term impact. So are we able to determine where these nutrients are going within a short amount of time? Are they reaching the bowls? Are they reaching flowers or fruiting structures? Or are we finding them in the reproductive stems? And really, another long-term impact of that foliar application as well with the nutrient uptake portion, but really, do we see any yield effect with these foliar applications? And the hypothesis for this study was we would see greater responses to foliar fertilizers under reduced soil applied fertilizer programs. And so in our materials and methods, we have our five foliar products. We have a foliar K product, a foliar P with a larger amount of phosphorus, and then we also have a foliar mix that is a set of macro as well as secondary and micronutrients. And then we have a foliar macro/secondary that contains nitrogen and some of those secondary elements as well as the micronutrients. And then we have a foliar micro that is applies a small amount of nitrogen with larger amounts of that those micronutrients in this product. So we had two separate locations. This first slide is going to focus on Fort Cobb, Oklahoma. The variety there was planted was Phytogen 300. It was center pivot irrigated. We are on a Binger fine sandy loam soil type. And so we made two applications with these foliar fertilizers, one at late squaring and then one at the peak bloom application. If you look down, our spray volume was 94 liters per hectare, and we had two sample dates, one at early bloom, looking at that short-term impact, and then one that would be at 50 to 60% bowl opening. Our plot dimensions, we had four rows. The two center rows were picked, four replications under a randomized complete block. So our treatment list to the right, we have our non-treated check, which received zero pre-plant nitrogen or fertilizer applications. We have a residual soil test level that received only 135 kilograms of nitrogen. And then we had 100% of what the soil test called for and 125% of what the soil test called for. And those nutrients were applied pre-plant. There was no split application. So when we looked at the foliar applications, those were paired with the 100% soil test level and the residual soil test level. And their application rates, they were both maximum rates at each timing. And you can see that to the right columns. As we moved to the Lubbock, Texas location, we had just a couple differences. A difference in cultivar, Deltapine 1747, was planted. From there, really the treatment structure was the same, except for the residual soil test levels were not paired with the five foliar products in Lubbock. So when we look at data collection, we took those two sampling dates. We destructively sampled plants, two plants per plot. In that first application, this was 7 to 10 days after our foliar application. And we took plant measurements, height, node above white flower, and these plants were partitioned into leaf reproductive structures and reproductive stems. The fresh and dry weights were collected from each plant part partitioned, and then that tissue was ground for nutrient analysis concentration. If we look down at the second foliar application, we did not sample that date until at least 60% open, and again, at two plants per plot, we partitioned into leaf, those reproductive structures, and reproductive stems. Now, at this timing, when the open bowls were ginned from those two plants, we took seed, lint, and bracts and burrs, and those were ground for tissue and nutrient analysis, as well as the leaf and stems from that second sampling date. As well as pre-harvest intervals, our measurements were height, note of first fruiting branch, note of uppermost cracked bowl, note of uppermost harvestable bowl, and total nodes. And then we took percentage open in those plots, and that was on seven plants per plot. We did take seed cotton yield from each plot, and that the whole plot is ginned, and we'll determine lint yield from that. Our data was subjected to ANOVA using PROC mix, and our means were separating using Fisher's protected LSD at alpha equals 0.05 in SAS. So as we get into the 2019 results for Fort Cobb, just some pictures here from that Fort Cobb location. As we go, we have the non-treated check to the very left, and as we move to the right, our soil fertility programs were increased. And you can see some visual symptom differences between these plots with potassium deficiency. So I talked about a lot of data measurements that we took. We talk about the first destructive sampling date. At that time, there was no significant differences between nutrient analysis concentration, nutrient uptake, or plant data measurements at that first sampling date. So I'll be showing mostly the second destructive sampling date and yield from Lubbock and Fort Cobb, Oklahoma. So here we have stem uptake of nitrogen, and on the y-axis we have stem uptake in kilograms per hectare, and on the x-axis we have our fertility level by the foliar product. And one thing we see here is the 100% plus the foliar mix product had the greatest uptake of nitrogen in the reproductive stem compared to all other treatments at that second sampling date. Again, if we look at another macronutrient, potassium, the 100, this graph is set up the same way, but the 100 plus the foliar mix had the highest levels of potassium with the exception of the 125% soil test level as well as the 100% fertility level with the macro slash secondary foliar product. So we look at some micronutrients and uptake from micronutrients. This again in the stem, and we have fiber or stem uptake in kilograms per hectare. Although these are at much smaller quantities than our macro nutrients were, we still see this 100% fertility with the foliar mix providing the greatest uptake of zinc in the stem compared to all of the other treatments in this study. And then we look at manganese. Once again, that 100% plus the foliar mix had the greatest amount of manganese uptake in the reproductive stem compared to all other treatments. And so I talked about the lint and separating the lint and seed in that second destructive sampling date where those were gin and separated. Well, fiber, the lint was, and seed were sent off for tissue nutrient analysis. So we got fiber uptake from calcium, something that was not expected to be seen was we had the non-treated check having the greatest levels of calcium in the fiber uptake. With the exception of the residual soil test plus the foliar mix. And in the same instance, fiber uptake of sulfur, once again, we saw that non-treated check with the greatest levels, with the exception of that 100 plus foliar mix, the residual soil test plus foliar mix, and the residual soil test plus foliar P. And so I think something we see here, even though the non-treated had the highest levels, we're still seeing that 100% or that foliar mix product towards the top with uptake of some of these products or some of these nutrients. As we move into cotton yield in 2019, there was no significant differences either at Fort Cobb or at Lubbock. And there was really no trend in how these products stacked up at either location. So in conclusion, nutrient uptakes were observed with a few of the foliar treatments in 2019, although no effects were seen within that first sampling date. We did see stem uptake that was increased with the 100% plus the foliar mix, as well as the uptake of calcium and sulfur in the fiber or lint that was sent off for nutrient analysis was higher in our non-treated plots compared to our foliar applications. So just, I think, varying levels, we see some inconsistencies with some of this data. Also, we talked about many plant measurement data throughout, whether it's the first sampling date, the second sampling date, and then the pre-harvest interval. But really, no fertility programs made any impact on cotton growth in 2019 or maturity. And then I think the key point is really we did not see any significant differences among yields at either location. And that this data really agrees with Bednarz et al., 1998, who reported nutrient increases in plant parts, but that really did not correspond to an increase in lint yield. So for future research, I think we could continue to evaluate foliar fertilizer applications during this peak nutrient demand timing. And really, when we see this uptake, how do these increased levels of nutrients in plant parts really benefit cotton growth and development? And then I think we can investigate alternative timings. Maybe we can move our timings a little bit further ahead of that demand curve. So I think that's something that's a valid thing to look at with future research. I'd like to thank Dr. Seth Burr, Dr. Brian Arnall, Dr. Katie Lewis for all their help, the fellow graduate students, student workers, and the farm crew at Fort Cobb for all they do. This is the literature cited, and I'll take any questions you may have.
We have time for one quick question.